Hello.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Wellness Works with Centrina Dorsey of Eddie's Wellness and Resource Center in Baltimore, Maryland. Today, as promised, we have returning with us Trek of Trek Consulting for the cryptocurrencies. I also want to remind everyone right now of the new locations of Eddie's Wellness and Resource Center, which is 1252 Sargent Street in Baltimore, and you still can find us at 6401 Hoffert Road and by appointment at 7000 Security Boulevard in Baltimore, Maryland also. The number is 443-204-2251. If you need to call to book an appointment, and you can also reach us at MassageBook, and that will be MassageBook at Eddie's Wellness and Resource Center. So, hello, Trek. How are you?
Hey, what's going on? How you doing, lady? Happy holidays and all that fun stuff.
Thank you. Happy holidays to you also. Yeah, maybe. A little grinchy. Okay. So I remember the last time we spoke, we had gotten into the way that cryptocurrencies could be used for the everyday individual. And some of the things that you had highlighted was how cryptocurrency is being used, abroad anyway, to build economies there, and then also that couple of states here, or at least one in particular, I believe you said it was Arizona, was using it so people could pay taxes at the end of the year to kind of start incorporating cryptocurrency as a regular to get it into
a regular currency. Okay. All right. We are at the end of the year. 2018 has been a very interesting year. If you talk to people who are in the space doing what I do or on the tech side of it, or, you know, the more business-minded folks, everyone agrees 2018 has been the year of regulators globally speaking. But the caveat being for what the U.S. is doing, it isn't necessarily at the forefront being the pioneer that we promote as like American bravado of how we lead the way on stuff. There are other countries that are doing way more progressive and judicial friendliness to the crypto space in comparison to what the U.S. is doing. As far as what we have going on locally, though, yes, I believe it was Arizona. But the caveat to that was it wasn't like the state was actually keeping the crypto. They were actually just converting it on the back end and then actually just using the fiat. So, like, yes, you could use crypto to pay for your taxes, and it's not every crypto. I think it's only Bitcoin. But the state wasn't actually looking to hold it. It was a matter of they would change it over on the back end, and you would, you know, pay in accordance with what, like, the rule, like, really the rules are, or the law as it's written for, like, pretty much all the states. You know, you can only pay for certain things in certain mediums. Taxes is one of those things where we haven't gotten around to, like, all right, let's, like, rethink these rules that we have and include this other version of a currency. We haven't gotten there yet. But like I said, on the front end, they'll accept the crypto, but on the back end, they're converting it out into fiat. So it's not like the state is actually holding it. There are other states, though, doing interesting things. For example, Wyoming is really working to update and I would say like revolutionize like their banking process, and Caitlin Long is really spearheading that project. She's a former Wall Street person, and she knows the financing world in the traditional sense, and she sees the benefits of blockchain and cryptocurrencies and stuff, and she's really pushing in her home state to have them do stuff. And there are other states doing various things to various degrees as well. There are some cities that are looking to implement certain parts more better than others. But when it comes to the grander scale of like at the federal level, we're not where some other countries are, is the bottom line of it. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, I find it interesting that they're converting it back to the dollar instead of holding the currency when they could use the currency themselves for anything that that particular state purchases outside of the U.S.
That's more of a like state and federal bylaw thing. Sorry. In regards to what is acceptable. Like, for example, at the federal level, right, we're going to jump up a level, echelon. You can pay, let's say it this way. Silver is considered a redeemable currency within the federal government level. It's in the Constitution. But I can't be like, well, hey, I got palladium, let me give you this. You know what I'm saying? And then we came up with dollars as another acceptable means, and that's like within the parameters of the rule space as far as how the IRS works. It's not a matter of like, how to say this. I'm not actually in that state, so I don't know all the little nuances. I just know what's happening on the back end is they're not keeping the crypto. And maybe somebody might be thinking down the line, like, hey, why don't we work to like push it over to this other project or balance account, or find like work to change our legislation that we can actually keep it as opposed to having to convert it back over. That might be in the works. I don't 100% know. There are so many different things going on in the space. It is very hard to keep up with everything.
Okay. So, according to what you've seen over the last time we spoke was in August. So, since August, how has your journey with using the currency progressed?
Oh, man. How has the journey progressed? I have done X amount of traveling. I was in Santiago, Chile at the beginning of this month for a conference called the Latin American Bitcoin and Blockchain Conference. And I used CheapAir to buy my ticket to go there. On the boarding side, I had to use the fiat. But for getting around and everything, I used Uber. And I say this to people on the end of living in this life in regards to like really converting over is not for everyone. There's a lot more back end thought process that has to go into stuff. So, for example, I knew that you could do Uber there, but I don't use Uber generally speaking because Uber doesn't take BitPay, which is a crypto-based debit card. And so I usually use Lyft. But because of the situation, I had to use Uber, right? You know, that's one of those little things that you kind of just have to traverse for what it is. But the bigger thing, which was the most costly part of it, was the plane ticket down there. CheapAir, they still take cryptos. even with the market being what it is, they've still held on and looked to curate that crypto community market. And I'm one of those people that have been using it for like 2 years now, and it's always worked out for me. Before that, where was I? I was in Canada for another event. That was another event that I was hosting. I used my crypto BitPay card for that. Like, how am I saying this? There are means for you to be able to deal with everyday things. Case in point, before I was in Canada, about 2 weeks before that, I was in Vegas for another conference, and I used Lyft to go everywhere. Once again, Lyft takes BitPay, which is a crypto debit card. So, you know, whether I had to go to the hotel or I had to go to some event that was outside of the hotel, everything was Lyft because they accept the card that I use primarily. Now, I do have a traditional bank card, but I try not to use that as much unless I have to because of whatever it is, product or service that I'm trying to get, and they don't take the other card. That's just my journey. It's a workable situation, but for where we are right now, I tell people all the time, it's not a thing for everyone. There's X amount of back-end planning that has to go in, especially when you get into the traveling situation of where you're trying to get outside of, you know, the traditional payment processing means. So like Venmo and PayPal and what's the other one? Like iPay and Samsung has their own thing. All of those things work great when you're in first tier countries where the system has the infrastructure to facilitate those things, right? But when you go to other places where it might not be as sophisticated, now you got to start coming up with other options, right? And this is one of the reasons why I've gotten into cryptocurrencies and blockchain technology for where I am at with it now, in that I want to know how the hard part of it works, the more cumbersome parts. So when we streamline in like another 3 to 5 years where it's just like using, you know, your Google, not Google Pay, like your Samsung Pay for transferring cryptos back and forth, whether it be Bitcoin or whatever, I can say, all right, I remember what it used to be like, and now I see we've made this progress. And honestly, for when I got in the space back in like 2014, 2013, it is easier now to do stuff than it was back then. And lo and behold, you know, it's still a little complicated, not going to lie, but if you really want to be in it, you can. Like, there's X amount of different options for you to be able to use it. It's just figuring out what thing works for what you need.
Okay. So, I guess the better question is, how should people look to incorporate it if they were thinking of converting over completely, but you just said it's not for everybody? What process could they use to start to find out whether or not it's for them or not, or if it's just something that they should use for a specific transaction?
Okay. So most people look to get into cryptocurrencies because you heard about how you could, you know, 100x and you could moon and make this money with doing minimal work, right, on your part. Now, for where we are right now, we're past the whole mooning and Lambo phase, meaning like you're not going to find a coin that you can get in on that's like under 1 cent or might be 2 cents, and then you buy like $500 worth of it or even $100 worth of it, right? And then within like 3 months it moves like 1,000% up. We're beyond that point right now. And so what I tell people is, you can do the whole, that earlier stage of like, well, let me find a coin and let me go on Coinbase and then let me, you know, on-ramp in from the fiat to crypto and then figure out how to use the exchange and get the coin that you're interested in. So you do your due diligence and research to understand what the project is, why the coin is connected to it, and how it's supposed to work. Like, I can't stress that part enough. You got to do the due diligence. And you have that route that you can go, right, to get in.
Mm-hmm.
What I look to more promote now is, do you have a skill set? Do you have something that you're interested in? Do you have something that you would be willing to sell? Because there's websites that you can go to, like Open Bazaar, and you can sell stuff on there. Even on Craigslist, you can sell stuff on Craigslist for Bitcoin now, right?
Okay.
If you have a skill set, right? Let's say you're a mechanic. You can offer to do side work in crypto. If you're a dog walker, you can say, hey, I walk your dog for, like, you know, now granted, you got to do the whole, if you really are hardcore with it, you're going to give values and satoshis, right? But if you don't want to do that, it's like, listen, for like $5, I walk your dog, but I just need you to pay in cryptos. And then you have your whole QR code or your public address and stuff ready, because you know that there are clients or there are people that have cryptos that would pay someone to walk their dog for them. You can then upgrade that to be like, hey, I can walk your dog and I can do grooming services, but my acceptance of payment is in crypto, right? Or if you have a traditional job skill set, like let's say you're an accountant or you're in marketing or you're a program manager, right? You can go on websites like Angel's List, like Crypto Jobs, like Monster.com, and you can find companies that are now looking to hire people that aren't the technical people. So I'm not talking about the full stack developers. I'm not talking about the back end, you know, people. I'm literally talking about people who have traditional job role skills, who all they're doing is just switching over the company that they're working for. And that company could be paying you either all in crypto or partially in crypto. There's different ways to work that out. To me, right now, for where I am, like I write for a company that's based out of Dublin, and they're a futures crypto exchange, right? They pay me in crypto. That is an example. Are you interested in writing? Do you like writing? Do you like doing explainer videos on stuff? Not even if it's related to crypto, right? You could be talking about fishing. You could be talking about doing makeup. You can go on BitTube. Yeah, you can go on BitTube, which, in my opinion, is going to be the coming competitor to YouTube, considering what they're doing. And you can get paid in crypto. Now, and I'm not saying you're going to be balling out, but what I'm saying is you can create content, push it out through BitTube. People like your content. People can give you tips. They can give you donations and stuff and sponsoring what you're doing, right? Now, this is a total opposite in relation to, like, not opposite, but it's different than what, like, let's say Patreon does, where Patreon takes part of the money from you. I don't remember what the percentage is, and they can also stop your channel. They can also pause your channel, and they can just delete your whole account and hold your money, right?
Oh.
In social media, one of my things coming up for this year is pushing more blockchain-based social media. And for me, BitTube is one of those examples. DLive, DTube, Steemit, Steepshot, and there's a couple of other ones out there that are blockchain-based. And the reason why I say that is we see what the pay-per-click, where the viewer is actually the product in those traditional models, right? So whether you're talking about Facebook, YouTube, what's the other one that I can't think of right now? Instagram, those models only work as long as people keep going to them and saying, okay, I want to look at whatever, right? So it's about the eyeball. But if the viewer is the product, what is the viewer getting from it? Especially on the end of, if you're the business person and you paid for all of this stuff, how are you validating that the crossover clicks are happening, where people are actually looking to go to your website, look at what your product or service is, and then actually use it. Because now you have more people who are using ad blockers. You have a new the web browser called Brave, and people are basically what's the word I'm looking for? Detaching from certain traditional social media, right? Facebook is losing people. YouTube did a whole purge earlier this month that was like 800 plus accounts. So you're talking about accounts that range between like maybe 10, 20, 100, a couple hundred thousand to in the millions as far as followers, right? Now where do those people go for that content they were looking for? Like, for me, social media is changing, and I think that people don't see the full value yet of how the blockchain-based social media is evolving and playing out. But this coming year, I will definitely do my part to make sure they understand, is the bottom line on that. Going back to what the original question was, there are different options as to how you can get crypto without actually doing your regular fiat-based job and then going and converting it over into cryptocurrencies, right? And what I'm saying is there are options to be able to do it without having to do that way anymore. If you look into the space and do the research, or, you know, reach out to people who are actually involved in the space. Don't have to come to me. There's a bunch of other people. Mm-hmm. Just be able to distinguish on, you know, what is what they're telling you, does it make sense? And you have to cross-reference it all.
Mm-hmm.
Like, bottom line.
Okay. So, do you believe that the currency is pretty much going to hold its or maintain its value? Going forward, like, so it appears that the low end of value is, I guess, I'll just round it down to round. So do you see it at least maintaining that type of value going forward into the new year?
Generally speaking, I do not do price talk. Anybody who knows me can tell you that. But here's what I will say to you.
Uh-huh.
It will continue to fluctuate. As for how much up or down it goes, I can't tell you that. I don't have a crystal ball. And anybody who tells you, oh, I can guarantee you it's going to be like, you know, a 90% increase by blah, blah, blah date.
Right.
Even with the best whales who mess around and do like any type of price manipulation, like, they can't guarantee that. No one in this space can guarantee that. And on the other part of it, no one in the space can guarantee, right? So you have Bitcoin, or you have Ethereum, or you have XRP, right? No one can guarantee that 3 years, 5 years, 2 years from now, those particular coins are going to be here. There are X amount of indicators that say, okay, they're doing certain business mergers. We see certain things happening in regards to legislation around the space. So, you know, recently the SEC chairperson was like, well, Ethereum's not a security. There was no official rule that came out and said Ethereum is off the security list. It was just a matter of him saying, here's how we're interpreting this, right? But that doesn't mean come next summer, they might not totally do a 180 and be like, yep, and you know what? We're going to make a rule that blah, 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 blah goes against XYZ cryptocurrencies in the space.
Right.
If somebody has that crystal ball, let me know, and hopefully we can work out some kind of deal that, like, we can monetize on this. because nobody I know or pay attention to does.
Well, I guess, just listening to what you were saying and thinking about it as you were speaking, I guess that if they did know for certain at this point, it would probably be more of an insider trading type thing, in which case we don't want any parts of that anyway. So
exactly.
So, yeah. Okay. So I know you said you've gone on a couple trips with it, and you were in a position where you had to use a different system of transportation. They didn't take what you had originally planned for as far as your trip was concerned. How would you go about, now I know that you plan because you're a planner, but how could you have planned differently so that you would have known prior to your arrival what is accepted where, like, you know, before you even hit ground, so that you wouldn't have had to run into those particular challenges?
Okay, one is to be better research. Bottom line, better research, right? So it would have been talking to some of my cohorts who have actually been down to Latin America and be like, hey, you know, does X, Y, and Z work down there? Or how do you deal with, you know, this situation? The other thing, it would have been just to do better due diligence on going online and looking at, like, what is it, like Trip something, the one with the owl, I can't remember
Trip
it.
TripAdvisor.
Yes, right, because they have some really good articles from people who are like on the ground, and they'll give you all the little ins and outs. Like, I remember when I went to Cambodia last year, and I wanted to do the Cambodia to Thailand crossing, like the actual, like take the bus and then walk across the actual borderline and all that stuff. Like, I was on there for hours reading stuff, and people were really giving, like, the little ins and outs stuff. So on my part, better research, right? Then the other part of what I have really learned this year in this endeavor of entrepreneurship, in this endeavor of being in the crypto space, is for all of the super ideals and ideologies that I had in my earlier years, right, for when I first started, the reality is you have to be more flexible. You're not going to be able to do a complete 180 into crypto and everything is just going to work out smoothly. Like, not at all. So, yes, I have a crypto debit card and I have a traditional debit card. Don't turn in my traditional debit card because of situations like that when I go to places where I can't use my crypto debit card. And the other thing, it falls across so many different things that I realize now in what I've gone through, as far as when I look back on the plans that I made last year and how I saw what I wanted to do. And then once I actually had got into the year and experienced certain things, the reality of, well, no, it can't actually work that way. You need to adjust. And so I adjusted accordingly, learned from a good number of mistakes, and I've made it through the year for the most part, being in this space, without getting a traditional 9-to-5 fiat-based job, which, considering what has gone on as far as the market thing and how it kind of slowed up some of the projects that I was trying to get on, like, in this last quarter, like, I know some people who got fired from, not fired, but let go. Sorry, let me say it that way. I know people who got let go from projects that they were working on because the market just really messed up a lot of companies who were holding heavy on the crypto side and they didn't prepare better for the reality of, well, what happens if there is a price correction within cryptos? And once Bitcoin goes one way, pretty much all the other altcoins follow that line. Not to the same degree necessarily, but it happens. And that was something, honestly, I didn't even plan for, because it just didn't seem like one of a fathomable thing for me at the time. And like I said, naivete, right? But you learn from your mistakes.
Okay. So I do find it interesting that you said that they didn't plan. They didn't basically have any hard cash backup plan. So they had to basically put people in position of being unemployed. And because you work for yourself, you don't have to be concerned about that. But that is something, as a person who's new to employing people, like, I'm always thinking about, how am I going to make payroll? Like, if I don't make anything else, I need to be able to make payroll. Because that's not their responsibility, that's mine. And at the top of the list, like that, that is the top of the list for me. So I really can't even understand how that could happen when you actually have access to capital. Like, honestly, I'm just building capital. I don't really have any capital. So I feel like if I can communicate with my little bit of people and let them know what needs to happen, how it needs to happen, when it needs to happen, so that we don't miss anything, then I don't see how and why they aren't able to do the same thing. And I guess that just comes back to also, like you said, even though the currency in and of itself has been around for over 10 years now, no, there is no getting in at the bottom with the low cost and it shooting up and all of that great stuff. But the value of it has been pretty decent. And if you were cryptocurrency heavy, then to me that's just like having a gold standard. Like, you have to have something hard to back it up. Like, you can't not have your gold for your cash. So what do you think about that? Like, what do you think about that?
Sorry about that.
Hello? Okay.
Yep. So, here is, you said it a fair amount right there, and here's how I'm going to unpack it, right? Within the space, 2016, we saw a shift of people who were the techies. They got kind of pushed back to the second row of the business part of the space, of the ICOs and stuff, right? And so now you have the more business-minded folks come in who have the connection to the money, who can do the fundraising part, right? And it's like, well, you know, the governments aren't really saying anything. So since the governments aren't really saying anything, this is like a free-for-all. And business people are money people. Business people do what they do to make money. Very rarely, in my opinion, totally my thing, do you find business people who are more added value over profit. Most business people within this space that X amount of business people in this space that I've come across are profit over added value. And so as to where in the beginning we talked about added value a lot, that that part of the narrative was getting switched out into, well, how is this going to be profitable? Well, you can do this fundraising thing called ICO, and you could get a couple hundred thousand, or you can get into the million. And then once people started seeing the money thing, And then the governments weren't saying, well, how are we going to tax you on it? What happened? More and more people came in under that assumption and under that mentality. And so you had people who didn't know anything about business listening to people tell them how to do their business, or how they can raise this money and not worry about the actual longevity part of the business. Like, I heard about a company that raised, I want to say like $2 million or something like that, and they were broke like in a year. And it was like, wait, what do you mean you got broke in a year? Like, who was your advisor, and why wasn't your advisor and your business person more accountable to how y'all were spending money? And
right.
The thing that gets it is, in some ways, for me at least, right, I would go with the argument of there are certain business fundamentals that transfer over, but then I argue that there are some business concepts and ideas that should not move over into the crypto space, right? Now, if you talk about how to maintain a business, yes, the smarter thing would have been to be, hey, let's put part of it in fiat, and then we'll have this amount of it in crypto, and then like we'll work out the arrangement between the employees that we have. We're going to pay you partially this way, so that, you know, if I'm paying you 100% in cryptocurrency, and all of a sudden, like, something happens where we don't exist in 3 months, you have all of this cryptocurrencies and you can't do anything with it. Like, you can't push it back on the market because the market is like, well, that's a crap coin. Like, we're not taking that.
Mm-hmm.
So now you put the worker in a very uncomfortable and hard position. For the most part, I think that a lot of people came into the space when we got into 2017, which was the year of ICOs and raising all of these millions of dollars. Like, so far this year in 2018, globally speaking, we're over $1 billion raised through this whole ICO mechanism.
Mm-hmm.
90% of those projects aren't going to do crap. More than 90% of those projects that did this year's ICO round, whether they were pre-ICO, post, and all of the MVP stuff,
mm-hmm.
they don't have an actual thing, like an actual working product, which is crazy. That's what happened because people saw and heard about, hey, you can make money. And so the money folks attracted the attention of other people who wanted money.
Right.
Is it the smartest business idea? Or, you know, is it the smartest business plan? I think that depends on how you're looking at it, because if you're looking at it from a scammer's point of view, if I'm getting you to give me either your fiat or your hard crypto asset, and when I say hard crypto asset, I mean as in you're giving me either Bitcoin or Ethereum or Litecoin, the legacy tokens and coins in the space. Like, if my project or my company goes to crap in a year, I'm not necessarily worried because there's no take backs, right? Like, that's the other part that gets this whole crypto, like the tokenomics and the token economy thing, in that once you give out the tokens, depending on how they set up the company and where they're located, like, there's no take backs. So you just have to like eat that was a shill coin. And there's nothing you could do to, quote, get your money back. Granted, there are certain cases, though, where, you know, you, depending on how they set up, like for companies right now that are doing this whole STO thing, which is like security token offering, when those things go under, like, they're going to have to come up with ways to give people back their money. But we didn't have that going on in 2016 and 2017 like that. And you're right with the whole thing of like, you're taking on people and you have to figure out, I'm now responsible to be able to help this person put food on their table. What is the wisest thing to do? depending on how you're looking at the space and what your goals are. Like I said, like not everybody has that added value over profit. X amount of people are about profit over added value. So if the quote peon get hurt or whatever in the process, they're not necessarily caring. And I'm not saying it's like everyone in the space. This is why we talk about the whole thing of due diligence and researching what stuff is, how it's supposed to work, who's on the team. Have they been connected to any other kind of project before? You know, like if you don't do that, but then when things go wrong, you want to go, well, I'm going to sue you, or I'm going to, you know, report you to the law or whatever. Like most of us old school people in this space, we're just going to look at you and be like, but you willingly gave up your hard asset for it. Like, this is another reason why I don't do price talk, or I don't recommend ICOs to people, and I don't recommend coins at all to people. I just tell you, here's the basics of what you need to understand. Depending on what your goals are, I'll help educate you to understand how to appropriately deal with that route you want to take. Because people are people, as my homeboy, Samson Williams says, people suck. And honestly, like the more I understand and meet more people and get around to different places and talk with people, for the newer folks coming in, there's certain things that I see where I'm just like, yep, people suck. Like you want the money, but you don't want to work for it in any way. I mean, you gambling at the end of the day. You put your money that you worked for on the fiat side into something you didn't look into because somebody on YouTube or somebody on some other thing that you came across told you about it. And then for the business folks, like if you have an idea, I can tell you right now, most of the people I know who do consulting work in the space as far as like blockchain-based businesses, they shoot down like more than 90% of the people who come to them with the, I have this business blockchain idea. Because majority of the time, it does not need a blockchain at all. It doesn't make any sense to even bring up the word blockchain in anywhere near of the subject of what you want to do.
Okay.
Like that's the reality of this space right now.
So basically, like you said earlier, well, you mentioned earlier, you referenced to the point of people being able to, well, this is how they had that influx of income. So you had people creating these little companies, crypto-style companies, just so they could get a piece of the pie. And then they don't have anything to continue generating income because they never had a product or service to begin with. Their whole intent was just to come in and grab a piece of the money and get out and sit back and watch what they grabbed grow.
Pretty much. Pretty much. That was it right there. And the crazy part is you have it now that technology-wise, you can pretty much make your own cryptocurrency with a couple of clicks of a button, and bam, I have a Trek token. I have a Trekking token, like literally under 30 minutes, literally, right? And now it is one thing in regards to like, you know, technology as far as this crypto stuff is concerned and coding and programming stuff has advanced to the point where it goes to one of the earlier pillars of it. Like it's open source. It's censorship resistant on that anyone can use it and make what they need with it. Right. Which that ideal is a good thing. That principle is a good thing. But in the reality of putting it into human hands, and because of how people are,
right.
it's a double-edged sword. Like,
mm-hmm.
So
right.
it's a...
Because they could never have the intent of having the this new coin, this new currency, I should say, to ever have any value in the first place. It just was there to generate an immediate or quick income for them and go by the wayside anyway. So there and again, that's why it also just makes more sense to, as you have said several times, do your research. And or if you are going to start to venture into the space, to use the ones that are established. So, yeah, stick with what's been established already. and don't, you know, worry about the new stuff unless, and I wouldn't say don't worry about it at all, but definitely try to look at something that has a product or a service directly connected to it, because the product or service being connected to it automatically adds more value to that coin in the first place, because the person is now invested into making that work because they're offering a product or a service. That's how I understand that. Would that be a good observation of that?
Generally speaking, yes. One of the things that when you're in the space long enough, like, you know, people will look at the coins and tokens one of two ways. It's either how am I making money off of this, or does this actually add value to the space, and does it do something that I need in my life? Does it help me accomplish something that I need in my life? And this is one of the things where I'll say, like, you know, I think it's a good thing that we have X amount of different tokens or coins, because not every coin does the same thing. And some coins kind of do certain things better than others, depending on, you know, what you're particularly looking for. Right. And within that, of the due diligence and research, I'm going to say 2019 is going to be more interesting, because for what happened this year, as far as the price going down, as far as companies, you know, having to lay people off, I think it gave us a jolt in the space to say, hey, stop the price over added value focus. Let's get back to making things or working on the product or the company actually putting out something that is actually a product or service and adding value to people's life. Now, right. With that being said, not everything that we are here in the U.S., and this is always the kicker to me, in the U.S., we're kind of playing the catch-up game. And I've been saying this for more than a year now. We are playing the catch-up game as far as the crypto space is concerned, because most of the interesting products, most of the interesting coins are outside of the U.S. There are certain things that are pretty cool here, like Edge Wallet, right? Edge Wallet is a very good wallet for me because it's a multi-coin wallet, and I use it on the regular. I can do in-token conversion, which means, like, if I have Bitcoin and I want to go to Litecoin, I can do that all in the same app, right?
Okay.
You kind of have to, like, scour the space and see what's there and what is available to you. When it comes to X amount of, you know, what's attached to a token, mm-hmm. most of the interesting stuff, in my opinion, is outside of the U.S., and X amount of those businesses are excluding U.S. residents from participating in their platform because of what our regulatory environment is like. which is a weird irony, like I said, in that we tout about leading the way on stuff, but there is where we have an issue in that we don't have clear, distinct legislation going on the federal level. And so X amount of projects don't mess with U.S. residents. But, you know, Bitcoin, Litecoin, Ethereum, Ripple, all of those are always open, right? And as long as you do your due diligence and no, let me not say it that way. That definitely is not 100% accurate. We are still in the crawl phase of this technology. Granted, we're at this whole 10-year marker thing right now, right? And granted, for where it was back in 2012 to where we are now, where you have wallets on mobile phones and you can do multi-sig and you can have multiple coins in one wallet and all of this fun stuff, right? We're still working to set like what the standards are going to be. And most people on the outside don't get that. But if you've been in the space long enough, it's just like, wow, like, yeah, we made progress on certain things, but we're still having to actually test stuff out. Now, I would argue I'm like one of the early guinea pigs in this whole thing, right?
Right.
And hopefully, like, I'll go through enough of the mistakes and things within the system, and then I can tell other people, like, oh, don't do this. You know what? This is going to be better for you, and I can help you avoid those things. That's part of my intention, is to help you avoid those situations, because it's not 100% guaranteed, honestly. Like, if anybody tells you it is 100%, like, everything is going to be great and work out and, like, the scammers are going to just disappear one day, total BS. If they tell you the price is going to do X, Y, and Z for a certain coin and they 100% know it, total BS. The technology is still being standardized. That's the bottom line of it. And the use cases are still being worked out as to, like, how to practically and effectively use the technology in the various realms of financing, transportation, healthcare, you know, digital identity. Like, those things are still being worked out. It just so happened that the vector of money, of the financial sector, was the easiest one to attack first using the technology, because everyone needs money. Everyone utilizes it in some fashion or form.
Right. So do you think that based off the four forms of currency that you just mentioned, those may become kind of the baseline period, like they'll become like the standard forms of cryptocurrency, like that'll just be it. And then since they all seem to have a different monetary value attached to them, how do you see that playing out globally? Because to me it kind of sounds like maybe each, I don't want to say each country, but like certain regions probably are more adapted to certain coins or certain currencies. So would it be a realistic assessment to say, well, maybe out of those four, and I keep thinking there's a fifth one for some reason. But
okay.
Out of those four, you follow where I'm going with this.
Yeah.
Like
okay. Will it be like Highlander? There can be only one?
Well, no, not only one.
I hope not. No, understand
right.
Where I'm going though. I hope not. Because if that's the case, we get right back to the situation we're in right now with dollar, right? In that
right.
You can go to any country and every country has their own fiat. If you don't know what fiat
right.
is, fiat is the money, right? Is their version of a dollar. Peso,
right.
ruble, yen, all of that fun stuff. So do I think the legacy coins will be the ones to last? People argue for very different, varying reasons why Bitcoin will be the one. And then you get into the whole thing of the infighting of which version of Bitcoin is going to be the one, right? I don't know. I don't know what is going to happen within the regulatory bodies locally to the U.S. or globally as far as how they may look at Bitcoin. Some indicators show, hey, Bitcoin is the main known. Bitcoin is the first mover because it was the first one, right? So most people know Bitcoin, and then they later on find out about the other stuff. Ironically, you can go and say, well, look at some of the business deals that are being connected with the other coins as far as what they're trying to do. For example, Litecoin just worked out the deal that they're going to be the official sponsor for, is it UFC? Yeah, so UFC mm-hmm. They're going to be the official sponsors for UFC. Like the next, whatever fight, I'm not a UFC kind of person. So, but I know mm-hmm. that them getting that sponsorship right there, that's a big thing because they're going to be on the ring floor, like big ass logo right there, right? Now, does this guarantee that it's going to be here in 10 years? No, it doesn't. In all honesty, it does not. But what it says for right now is there is a shift happening within the business space and within certain markets to where it's like, hey, we need to start cross-branding. We need to start making other certain connections. Even when you look at the financial sector, for what's going on, Fidelity is opening up a trading desk, I believe, for cryptocurrency, right? I forgot who the other one was that admitted earlier this year that they've been mining for like more than a year. This is an official bank saying we've been mining crypto for like a year or more. How do I say this? The technology within the application of finance, where we want to talk about everyday money, currency, and transaction, that's not going to go anywhere. That is absolutely the genie's out the bottle, the cat's out the bag. There's no putting it back in. The question when you get to like, well, which one is it going to be? That will, you know, be the everyone knows that, or everyone's using, let's say, Bitcoin as the international level baseline for the monetization and like what is it, bilateral trade stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's X amount of indicators that yeah, that's going to be the thing. But then if you listen to what Ripple tells you, like Ripple's like, nah, it's going to be us. We're going to be the ones. We're better, and we're even better than Bitcoin. And Ripple, from the beginning, told people, we're about the banking institution, right? So there is no crystal ball. The only one thing I can say with 100% certainty is the technology is here. It's not being put back in the bag. It will be integrated into our financial system, and eventually it will be an everyday thing in some form. Now, eventually doesn't mean tomorrow. It doesn't mean in 5 years. Like, we didn't just get the internet in 1 day or 2 years, right? It took a little bit for the infrastructure to roll out and be built in, and then getting the standards and da da da. The same thing applies here.
teachers.
I'm sorry, I don't have like the most trendiest best answer or like the most like optimistic joint, but
no, I want real answers. But when you mentioned the USC thing and the light being a sponsor for that, like that's along the lines of like what I was hinting at, or but just you know as far as like. Companies like, if that happens, regardless of what the currency is, because as you said, the legacies could go away, but there's always going to be a currency. So I guess how I'm seeing it is, as there won't be like 100 currencies, I just don't see that being that broad. But I do see where. Things like that will happen, and you will have certain coins for certain groups of entities where then you just trade between the entities, be that a country or a group of countries or companies, a group of companies, and that to me is what's going to draw down the number of available coins. Like I can there'll never be just one, no, because of people. There'll never be just one. But that's kind of how I was seeing it, and that's kind of what I was wondering about, because to me that's the only way you can hope to establish a real baseline, a real foundation, and get things to be more standardized.
Okay. So, yes, 100% on that. Like, I think that the end of this year brought us the culling. And me and another friend in the space, Crypto Blood, we were talking about this in Vegas, where, like, the culling of the coins right now, of the tokens, whichever thing you're on, it started this year, and we're going to see it play out more next year. For example, for Ethereum, you have Ethereum, and then there's Ethereum Classic. The dev team that did the programming work for Ethereum Classic, they just recently like put out a public thing, I think on Twitter or something. It was like, yeah, we're closing up shop. We're just going to let it go. Like, we can't do this anymore. Like, that's happening. Aside from just having it where – you know, people make up coins to shill and scam people, those projects don't go anywhere. If you're into the tech side of this space and you start looking into GitHub, the GitHub repository, and then like go through the pull request numbers, and you'll see this last half of the year, like Q4, there have been a good number of coins that there just has no activity. And others are, you know, just throwing in the towel, or they're making some kind of like merger between them and some other coin or something else, right? And I think going into next year, we're going to see more of that, because this year got people, I think, I'm hoping, more so about, all right, let's just stop, you know, throwing up coins and ICOs, and let's actually get on real real products and services. And as well as the other thing is that, like, for people who were, like, you know, on the VC side of it, or whales, or just, like, you're not, like, balling like that, but you was invested in things, taking stake, like, the sentiment is basically, like, all right, we need to have y'all more accountable on, if I'm giving you this money, like, you need to have a product of something within, like, 6 months. Like, where are you in this development line, this roadmap? Like, how are you launching it out? And I'm not arguing it from a standpoint of a profit thing, but from a standpoint of like, do you actually have something? And more of the whales and the VC folks and, you know, the minnow investors or stakers got a little bit more hip after this year to see like, all right, I'm not just going to be throwing $500 on something or $1,000 or $10K or whatever. Like, if you don't already have some kind of practical business layout on how you're going to go from idea to product, or have it be where you are already have the product and you just need the funding to do the launching of it, like,
right.
It's going to be a different game coming this year. The other thing, too, I would also want to point out is that I think we'll see more businesses coming into the space that are not traditional blockchain. A company or somebody would be like, well, my company does blah, 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 and this is our blockchain, or we're based on the Ethereum blockchain, or we have a token. I think, personally, there should be more companies that are looking to be the crossover for people in interacting into the blockchain, within the different blockchains. So, for example, there's a company that is it's called Ubiquity, right? They're based, they're a U.S. registered company. And what they're doing is they're taking title, land title registration, and they're going to different counties and different states and stuff. And they're doing a blockchain-based copy of the land title registration. And they're offering other services. They don't have a coin. They don't have their own blockchain. They are literally the go-between company to where you can register your land title registration on Ethereum, on Bitcoin, and there's another two that I can't remember. But I think that as opposed to people trying to reinvent the wheel and do all the pretty glam, let me get that money, money, big stuff, like just do a little, look at that niche market. Look at the thing that nobody's really paying attention to, that the glamorous thing. And you'd be surprised what you can make on that. Like, I think more people need to understand you don't need to reinvent the wheel. If you could just figure out how to help people, you know, get some kind of productive thing from the wheel, like, yeah, there you go. And it's a lot less costly, too. Sorry?
I said I completely agree. You were saying, it's a lot less costly.
Oh, yes, it is way. If you want to try to run your own business and it's a blockchain-based business, you're talking about you need the dev team. You're definitely going to have a couple of those people. You're talking about you got to deal with the marketing people. That's like marketing and getting into social media. Then you need the program manager person who's going to be your operations person. Those are just the three people. I'm not even talking about the money you're going to have to pay out for the licensing stuff, depending on what you're doing. And if you're in the U.S. or if you're in Singapore or if you're in Hong Kong or if you're registered down in Brazil, like, it's a costly endeavor. I can tell that. I can so say that with 100% certainty. Like, I have a project that I'm consulting on now that's looking to launch in Ghana. And just to do the mock-up for the product that we're looking to push out, that was a couple hundred thousand, right? So having the mock-up, showing like what it can do and like being able to play and mess with it and everything, and then we're playing around with it, testing it out and stuff, and that was a good penny. But that's not even like the highest rate that I've heard some other places charge. So yeah, it's a costly endeavor. And if you can, you know, not go through the headache of reinventing the wheel, hey, do that. You even have it for wallets. Like, I know a company that they have their own wallet and they'll white label their wallet for you. What? Oh, all I got to do is that and pay you for that and then get the whole thing and not have to go through the whole hire the dev team and figuring out the ins and outs. People are funny in that they want to go for the glamorous, hard, beat your head against the wall stuff in this space, and I don't know why. And then there's that other part of them where it's like the greed and the money part, because they put in profit over added value. And if this year has really gotten me to see that side of the space, I'm not really too enthralled with it, but I understand a lot more now because of it.
Right. Well, Trek, if you could just remind everyone how they can get in contact with you.
Okay.
Any contact information.
Yes. You can find our website. It is treksmartconsulting.com. That is T-R-E-K-K. Also, I'm on Twitter a lot, and that is Smart Trekking, which is S-M-A-R-T-R-E-K-K-E-N. It is not I-N-G. I know my accent from the north makes it sound like I'm saying I-N-G, but I'm not. Also, I just started really pushing on Instagram my podcast called Trekking Cryptos to Connect. And once again, for Instagram, you can find me at Trekking, T-R-E-K-K-E-N, 2 Cryptos, so C-R-Y-P-T-O-S. And I do X amount of, like, little short clips on there, and I just give out information and advice and make comments to make people think. And on the podcast, I share stories about everyday people in the space and what I'm going through. If you have been listening to anything recently in this space, or if you started in 2017 or 16 and then listened to what those people on YouTube are saying, and I don't want to knock anybody, I just note that X amount of the people who are all talking about what's the next top ICO or what's the thing that you need to put your money in and just doing a pure trade talking, a lot of those people have gone silent this year. Just saying.
That's very interesting. So, what do you have on the agenda next as far as gathering information? Is your next conference?
Honestly, I don't. So, I went to the Latin American Bitcoin and Blockchain conference, and I have to say it totally changed my whole view on how I look at conferences going forward. Just on the end of, there was nobody chilling to me and stuff like that, and people were actually talking about working products and services, right? And the Latin American scene is very different than what I've experienced here in the States. Personally, for next year, I might make one or two things, but I'm also looking to really build up my technical skill set. So there's a course that I'm trying to get into right now to, you know, build up my programmer side of skills. And then the other thing is I'm just going to be really pushing hard and heavy on the social media front and getting more people to take note to blockchain-based social media. So between LinkedIn, Twitter, and Instagram, I'm going to use YouTube and Facebook to a certain degree, but my main focus is to get people to really see how things like BitTube, Steemit, DLive, SteepShot, and those things work in the social media space.
Okay. And I apologize for any coughing anyone hears today. I'm going to get through that over the next day or two and be back without any of that the next time we talk. But thank you so much for taking your time out today to link up and so we can go into the new year with some reflection and with some new ideas about how to look at just changing our perception and the perspective on how we even look at cryptocurrencies and how we can utilize them going forward, and also maybe how we can assist in getting our legislators to put something in black and white that will allow for the currencies to be used by U.S. residents globally without being blocked out, because that is Very interesting. That's really, like you said.
Okay, let me caveat on that distinction. It's not a matter of that you can't get the coin once it hits the market space, but if you want to be one of those early staker people, investor people, that's when it becomes an issue of, are you a U.S. resident?
Right.
Because most of the outside companies don't want to go through the regulatory mumbo jumbo that the U.S. Puts in play for people to join as accredited investors. So, just that little caveat.
Okay. So, again, we will follow up very soon. Let's follow back up at the end of first quarter in March and see how things are going and see how things are trending at that point. And I will have a little update for you as well to see if it has caught on in my business. As stated before, they do offer the currency to be taken on Cash App. So I've put it out there a couple of times and see what happens on my end as far as receiving it and therein helping to make it a part of everyday usage. Thanks again. We'll talk to you soon. Have a great day.
All right, you too, and thanks for having me on.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Later.